Scripture reading this morning will be from be reading from the New King James Version. Starting verse 1. A good name is better than a precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This is also vanity.
After having several weeks of football visitors, it's interesting to see the good number we have when we don't have a football game in town. We're certainly thankful for everyone that is present, particularly our visitors. If you haven't had a chance yet, please fill out a visitor's card. We'd love to have a record of your visit. We eventually want to, in time, do several things. I'm working right now on a new website that we're going to be using in conjunction with our others. And one of the things I want to do with it is an email bulletin. And we'd certainly love to have your card, your email address, and we're certainly glad you're here. Tonight, after services, Harold Carswell will be teaching the student class at our house. And he's going to be talking about some dangers that students face in living the college life. And Harold is, as you know Harold, he's going to have some really good material to bring. It'll be at our house. I thought I would present a couple of lessons today, probably along the themes of maybe some of the things that Harold would talk about. This morning I want to talk about the subject of fools are not friends. We're going to talk about relationships and talk about the danger of associating the wrong kind of people. And then tonight I want to talk about the Christian and alcohol. Probably one of the stronger lessons that I will present, and I hope you can be back for any one of those lessons. We're certainly thankful for your presence this morning. We need to look at our life and ask some questions about how we're building ourselves, how we're building our lives, our relationships. A good character doesn't come by accident. We are basically a series of choices. Over time, we have made choices of things we will do and will not do. I pray that you're here today because you have made choices to serve God. And the very essence of Christianity is a molding of our thinking, of our heart. Jesus doesn't want just our bodies coming into a building. What he does is that he wants us through and through to be thinking like he thinks. It is a tremendous process as we become a Christian, as he then takes us like a lump of clay and begins to mold us into something. Our hearts, our thoughts, how we solve problems, how we communicate, our relationships are all part of the Christian life. Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Another possibility, though. Look at verse 26. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You know, as we talk about building life, it's very important that we understand that it starts in youth. Now, I want to tell you, this lesson is not just for the young people. One of the interesting things, as I've seen over time, is that adults can make the very same mistakes. And who they choose as a friend and how they build their character is certainly significant over time. You know, you'll find out who is a fool and who is not. By the way, the term fool is not a forbidden word, but it is a strong word. It is a word in the Scriptures that you would not want it to be applied to you. But if it can be applied to you, you should understand it and hopefully change. It's very hard to change a fool. But a fool, if you look at the definition of the word, it signifies without reason, want of mental sanity and sobriety, a reckless and inconsiderate habit of mind, the lack of common sense, perception of the reality of things natural and spiritual, of the imprudent ordering of one's life in regard to salvation. A fool is one who doesn't want to think. He doesn't want to do what is right. Now, let me say one thing as we continue to develop this study of the word fool. You can be foolish and not be a fool, okay? I do foolish things. There are many times I'll do something and I'm thinking, did I do that? I can remember years ago, and this is really just kind of, I don't know if absent-minded as much as foolishness, but I remember one time that I wanted to get a newspaper in Columbus, Mississippi, when I was in a preacher training arrangement there. I had this big old Oldsmobile clunker that I drove. And I remember I wanted to get a newspaper, and rather than parking in the parking place, there's no traffic, I'm just going to put my car in park, I'm going to get my chains, I'm going to open the door, and I'm going to go get that newspaper. Car running. Well, I get my newspaper and I look up and I realize that I had locked and closed the door. So there's my car running in the middle of the street, locked. And here I am with my newspaper. Now that was something that was foolish. Now I want to tell you something. The reason why, you know, I didn't do that again is because I learned from that. Fools don't learn from their lessons. Jesus warns us against the casual use of the word. If you're familiar with the scriptures, the Bible says, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." And here Jesus is talking about several issues here. But one of the things you would see in this context, the word fool is not to be taken lightly. We read about how the heart is that which Jesus is concerned about. And again, we're talking about one who doesn't learn, one who walks in sin without any concern. The title of my lesson is Fools Are Not Friends. It is very important to understand that a fool is not one you would want to choose as a friend. Now, a friend, if you want to know who a good friend is, you'll know who a good friend is by what they do to you when you're not doing what you ought to do. Now, I'll tell you, my best friend, I know many of you obviously should know David well, if you've been here many years, but David Hartz was my best friend. And one thing I have expected of David, and he has never failed to consistently deliver, is that he'll get the 2x4 out sometimes when I go down a path I ought not. The people that are closest to me are the people that are not afraid to correct me and take me on when I need to hear something, even though it's not popular for me at that moment. Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Proverbs 27, 9, it says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." I don't want yes men around me. I don't want people telling me, "All is well, you're doing great." I want somebody that will slow me down and say, "Hey, are you thinking about this?" Or maybe even more importantly, "You are wrong." You see, that's how you build the kind of life you need to build. You need to understand we can make mistakes. We can be blind to something. We need help. Choose good friends. As Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." But now let's talk about a fool. We're going to talk about the character of a fool, but I want to tell you that I've made this mistake. So I'm going to tell you, as I preach this lesson, I have made this mistake. Early in my life, I made a close friend, a girl that I believe ended up being a fool. And I say that with hurt and sorrow. I wished it wasn't so, but I believe it was so. And actually, it was after learning from that experience, I went back through Scripture and looked at things and kind of understood what had just happened to me and what I had observed and have observed since then. Proverbs 13:19, the Bible says, "A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Everyone, young people, older people, one of the great keys in the Christian life, as you have become a Christian, as you want to serve God, as you want to go to heaven, is those that you have relationships with. those whom you make your friends, the one whom you marry. It is so important that you surround yourself with people that will help you as your close friends. And the Scriptures warn us. You can associate with a fool. You can make close friends to a fool. You can marry a fool. But it won't be without a price if you do that. As you begin to look at a fool, we begin to analyze the character of a fool. We read the passage earlier in Ecclesiastes 7, but if you want to know the essence of a fool, the fool just makes short-term decisions. The fool wants the here and now. The idea of going to a funeral, as Yvette and I were part of this last week, the idea of going to a funeral, man, they don't want to do that. I want fun. The idea of going to a sermon like this, coming to a place like this, and hear things about yourself that is painful, but that can help you, they don't want that. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 4 says, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This is also vanity." The fool wants fun, fun, fun. What can we do today? Let's hear it now. Let's laugh. Nothing wrong with laughing. Nothing wrong with fun. But when you make it the focal point of your life, and in many ways, frankly, I think the fool is seeking escape. If you really want to know from the ones that I have known that I believe have gone down this path, they didn't like themselves. They were miserable. They were painful. They felt poorly about themselves. But rather than being honest and going to God and starting over, they're constantly running, 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 hiding. That's not the person you want to be around. I can remember, again, as a young man, being around other people, they boasted about their sin. Proverbs 10:23, it says, "Too evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom." I remember some of the jobs I worked about these men, they were laughing about how many women they had impregnated. I'm not joking about that. I mean, it was very sad to me. I had worked for the job. They were laughing about that. I was with another group of people one time in a job that I had, and people were laughing about the people that they were able to take advantage of and take their money from them. I don't know what it may be for the particular person you may associate with that has this attitude, but one thing they do, they love to win. They love to take advantage of the here and now. Cheat, lie, whatever it is. It's like a sport. It's a badge of honor. Young ladies, you need to understand. If you begin dating a fool, you are in dangerous territory. Because a fool's not going to think long term. And because of that, immorality comes easy for a fool. Because the fool wants to satisfy their lust right now. And you know what? If they want to hear religious talk, if they figure that religious talk will help them accomplish their goal, they'll give you religious talk. If they want to find out whatever it takes to accomplish the goal, and the goal is pleasure, not long-term commitment. They'll deceive, they'll do whatever it takes to find what they want. You see, again, when you talk about a fool, they're not interested in understanding. Now listen, if you want long-term happiness, if you want to accomplish something long-term, you're going to have wisdom. You're going to have to understand why things work. You're going to have to learn about relationships. You're going to have to be a servant. You're going to have to be a hearer. If you really want to build that foundation that Jesus said that would stand when the floods of life hit it, you're going to have to seek understanding and listening, but not the fool. Here and now, right now, fun. Don't waste my time with talk. Proverbs 17:16 says, "Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it?" Now what happens to the person that decides they don't want to learn? I kind of liken it to the person who's driving down the road and they're getting stressed. Ever been stressed in traffic? I tell you what, I hate the interstate traffic when everything turns into a parking lot. Or even worse, it speeds up and it slows down. You're doing 61 minutes, the next moment you come to a dead stop, buddy. I can't stand that. Now, let's suppose I took the fool's approach. The fool's approach would be, well, look, it's giving you difficulty. Close your eyes and it'll go away. Right. Yeah, it'll go away for a short bit of time until you crash into something. But you see, that's what happens to the fool. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 2:14, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I perceive that the same event happened to them all. Over the time as a Christian, over the years that I have preached in different places, I've run across fools of different ages. And again, as I say that word, I don't say that with any joy, because I tried to help these people. I tried to do what I could, and I love them. I don't hate them. But nonetheless, they were fools. And what is sad is that when you try to help somebody, they've had disaster after disaster after disaster after disaster, and you try to help them say, look, there are some things you are doing to create this. And they don't want to hear about it. It's somebody else's fault. This particular event happened to me, and it was unfortunate, and there's no learning. And again, you know the passage, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I remember many years ago, a girl that I had already mentioned that I'd become really good friends with, I tried to help her. She came from a good home, a good family. And I can remember watching her as she began, she decided that she wanted to date a non-Christian. And there's a lot of dangers in that. And later I want to talk with you about relationships between Christians and non-Christians and preach on that. But I'll never forget her being in a class where a man was trying to warn, okay, here's why a Christian really may not want to date a non-Christian and certainly not marry a non-Christian. And the man was making good points, and I looked over at my friend, and she had her eyes closed and her head was down and she was shaking. She was not going to hear. And she didn't. She became immoral with that man, would go sleep over with that man before they married. They married, their marriage lasted 6 months, and then he was kicked out of the house. She went through several other marriages after that. She wouldn't listen. They despise wisdom and instruction. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't get in my way. Tell me I'm okay, but don't you dare warn me. Very sad. And I've suggested this already, but to me, this is the thing that I have seen. A fool won't learn. They won't learn. They won't learn if you try to talk to them. They won't learn if you try to warn them. And they won't learn if they get their head beat in over and over and over again. Proverbs 26 and verse 11, it says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Proverbs 27, 22, though you grind a fool and a mortal with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Over life, Yvette and I, sometimes we look at situations and circumstances, and you know how it is. Sometimes you really won't help people. You really, really won't help people. You see people doing things, and you kind of think, oh, you know, if there's a way we get the message through, their life could be better. But many times people won't even let you approach them. And sometimes I'll tell Yvette, I says, you know, life will beat it out of them. You know, that's sometimes the way to learn it. Sometimes you're not going to listen, and you go and crash and burn. And a person who loves God, a person who wants to do better, they can get up and say, I might not ought to do this again. Fools won't do that. Life doesn't beat it out of them. In Proverbs 17:10, the Bible says, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. And again, how do you get there? To me, as I look at this, there has to be a hardness of heart. There has to be a ceasing of thinking. There is a searing of the mind, of the conscience. Where you get to the point where you do the same thing over again. And if you look around in this life, you see that's what people do. I mean, look at the Hollywood stars. Look at the junk and filth and the sewage that's put on TV with the life of some of these people. And they go into a marriage approaching it with just immorality and no concern. And you get unmitigated disaster. And what do? They do it again. And what do? They do it again. I mean, see these examples all around. You don't want to live that life. With God's grace, we don't have to. With God's grace, we can make mistakes, and we can crash and burn, and we can get up, and we can be forgiven, and we can learn, and we can have people who really care for us around us, and we can go forward. But you see, you got to have that strength that the grace of God gives you. One of the interesting things I have found over time, did you know, you would think a person that lives that way, nobody's going to be around them. Nobody wants to be their friend. Nobody wants to date that kind of person. Nobody wants to be... But you know what? I find that's not been the case. Fools do have abilities. Matter of fact, a fool can be brilliant. A fool can have talent. Fool could, I think, in some cases, well, I'm going to hold back. I'll get into politics, but you can know basically where I'm going. Sometimes I think a fool can accomplish things in politics and move up the ladder and still be a fool. But a fool many times has an ability to get others to follow them. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. But what I see here is that I've run across people at times, how can I put it, they lack self-confidence. And you know, they may be a quieter personality, and here comes a person, they seem to have it together, they seem to know everything, they seem to know where they're going, and there are some people who say, well, ooh, I'm going to follow that person. You know, there are people who are needy like that, and it seems like the fool can pick that person out and just lead them around like a little dog on a leash. If you look in scriptures, you read about the confidence that the fool has. The Bible in the NIV calls it recklessness. It says, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. You know, you may have the need of marrying someone or having a friend of somebody who is decisive and has a strong will, but please, oh please, oh please, make sure that person's not a fool. There are people that have all the answers and they know what's right, but it's just because they're so determined it in their mind. They'll lead you off the ledge if you let that kind of confidence lead you. And we've already read earlier that the fool will maintain that his way is right. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I had a friend that was a preacher. And I believe there was a time in his life where he became a fool. And he ceased becoming a fool later. But the time that he became a fool, I believe that he had gotten himself into, first off, a bad marriage. And his wife put him away. And during that time, even unbeknownst to other people, that he had got himself involved in alcohol and involved in drugs. In addition to that, he had got himself involved with a whole group of people on the outside that weren't good people. And he was being my friend. I was trying to help him. I knew he had trouble. I didn't know the depth of his trouble. But there was a time when he was caught up in all of that. He would never, ever admit to doing wrong about anything. He was confident. I'm doing right. You're misjudging me. People are against me. And he started talking about all these things. Now, I want to tell you, later he did repent. He finally crashed and burned. He got arrested for bad checks. People came into his house and they found all that alcohol and stuff. And he crashed and burned. And he turned around. And by the way, one of the keys of his turning around was when I remember working with him. I said, you've got to build good relationships. And he sought that. And he's done well. But there was a time where, buddy, you could not tell him anything. But going back to the influence of a fool, the fool sometimes can look at people that have a need and can meet that need, and they like to draw you into their web to accomplish their goals. You know, he wants to gain your favor. You know, for instance, if a person needs praise, and there's a lot of people that hurt, they don't think a lot of themselves, and somebody brags on them, somebody talks about how they look or talk about what they do, and they feel good, and a fool can see that, and they can take advantage of it. Look at Psalms 12 and verse 2. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? Here's the words of a fool. We're going to get our job done any way we can. And buddy, if they can get you to join them by flattering, they will flatter. And they're good at it. Don't you like somebody to brag on you? I do. I enjoy that. Don't you like somebody to tell you you're doing well and what a great friend you are? I like that. But you see, the fool understands. And this is the sad thing about a fool. They will use you. They will lead you on like an old bass taking the lure before they set the line. And when they're done with you, they will throw you away as garbage. And so you need to understand there's a difference between a genuine, somebody praising you out of genuine love and concern, and versus somebody that's manipulating you. Proverbs 29 and verse 5, it says, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. So again, be careful of people who tell you what you want to hear. You see, as we begin to look at life and we can begin to understand the influence of Satan, Satan really has a desire to enslave us. And I think one of the most powerful weapons that Satan has is relationships, brethren. You've already heard me say this. Who you make your friend is important. Who you associate with is important. The people that you want to be yourself with and let your guard down is important. If you let your guard down with a fool, the fool is going to have their own self-interest in mind, and they will use you. They will use your influence. If you've got a good influence, they'll just try to get right in there with that and use your influence kind of like a pulling guard blocking for you as he goes around to accomplish his folly. Fool will use weaknesses to enslave you. We talk about flattery. A fool will push you to drop your morals. The fool will use others to satisfy their own lust. Proverbs 2:16, it says, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Here the harlot is described here, using the tongue in order to get someone to drop their morals. Proverbs 6:24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Proverbs 7:21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. So again, it's better not to get in that relationship. It's better not to be in a position where people can push you to compromise. It may not just be in immorality. It could be in dishonesty. It could be in thievery. It could be in like we talked earlier, just like I say, just trying to cover up or something. But over and over again, if you want to know the real meaning of a fool, do this. Get in his way once towards something they want. You want to find out what the character of a person is, oppose them. I've said this over and over again about relationships. You don't know about your relationship with another person until you get into a situation where you disagree. You don't really understand the character of an individual until you go through a situation where there's conflict and there's turmoil and there's difficulty and there's this disagreement. You get into with a fool in that situation, they will never admit they're wrong. Matter of fact, they'll turn on you. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:5, as a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Proverbs 23:9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Emily and I, over the years, we've had occasions to study this material. It's one of some of her favorite material because it kind of deals with relationships and it's given us a good chance to talk about things. But one of the things I'll tell her, and I'll tell anyone, but particularly as a younger person, you know what a good warning sign of a fool is? It's everybody else's fault. My parents are mean, and they don't understand, and they're doing wrong, and they're this, they're that. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's bad. These things have happened to me, but it's this person, that person, and nobody's my friend except you. And oh, I love you, and you're so wise. You know, the fool, you can kind of understand after a point, as they'll tell you about their lives. And one of the big old red flags, I've never done wrong, and it is everybody else's fault on the face of the earth. Be careful. Another thing about a fool uses their temper. Try to talk with somebody that's got a good heart and say, hey, brother, I think you might have done something wrong. Sister, I think there's something here you ought to correct. And you know what a good-hearted person will do? You know, if they say, I love you for telling me, I'll repent. Or, I'm not sure I see it, but I want to see it. Let's talk about it. But you see, a fool that I would say is a talented fool, they have learned techniques to shut down correction. They hate correction. They hate instruction. Proverbs 17:12. Better to meet a she-bear robbed of its cubs than to confront a fool immersed in folly. What does that mean? The fool's going to be mad at you. They're going to run over you. And you know, I found people, they're very good. You start telling them, well, you know, I'm concerned about this, brother. Well, you've done this. They'll try to turn it around, and while you're trying to talk to the person about wisdom, they'll turn around and attack you. Why do they do that? To shut down the process. They don't want to hear it. Be careful. Intimidation is used. Slander is used. I remember this brother when he was involved with the drugs and the alcohol. I can remember he talked to me about people. So-and-so tried to talk to me, and I told them that if they did this, I was going to tell their family about this. I remember hearing all the insanity coming from this brother. While he was in that position, he didn't want anybody to get in the way of what he wanted to do, and he didn't want anybody to know. Roman numeral 3. How do you identify a fool? I think we've already established it, but just to cover it, one more time, look at some more scripture. Listen to them. They'll tell you. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 13, it says, the words of his mouth begins with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? A fool will talk you to death. But even when they do that, listen to them. Ecclesiastes 5, 3 says, For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. I've heard the joke, and it's probably true. I try to apply this sometimes, although you may say not necessarily the length of my sermon, but sometimes in the course of talking about things, sometimes I try to be quiet. And try to be quiet a lot because, you know, as somebody used to say the joke of that, well, you know, if you keep quiet, they don't know you're a fool. Or they know you don't know. You know, there's some wisdom sometimes in being quiet, particularly when you don't know what you're talking about. Proverbs 15:5, it says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. A fool will be quick to lie. A fool will be one who will deceive you if in order to get away with something. A fool will speak bad of his own parents. Proverbs 14:1, it says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hand. You see, fools don't know how to build. They don't know how to maintain relationships. Let me ask you, how many of you want a relationship with someone when it's all about them? It's me, 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 my world. You don't want that. And if you ever, ever even suggest something's wrong and they attack you, you don't want that. You see, the fool doesn't maintain relationships, but for the short term, because they love fun, because they can sometimes disguise themselves. People want to be around them, but it never lasts. There are questions you can ask. How does he speak? How does he speak of others? How does he speak about God? Fools can come into the worship of God. As I suggested years ago, as I observed this one individual, I observed worship and the attitude toward worship. A person could, a fool, because they could like singing. They could like certain things. I think if you really like singing and listen to the words, you know, you'll gain wisdom. But sometimes they like activity. A fool can come into an assembly and be a danger to others. They can have a worship. But notice how the Bible warns us about the worship of a fool. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Well, they can talk about not being a God, but Psalms 92 says this, O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand it. But you go on to Ecclesiastes 5:1, we read about there is such thing as a worship of a fool. They're not going to last long within a local church. It's a matter, though, of how many they take with them. And that's the sad thing, is that we need to, how can I put it? We need to be willing to learn. And let's say somebody is a fool. Sometimes people can change. Sometimes there's a difference between, as we talked about earlier, being foolish and being a fool. Emily, I remember years ago when we was talking about some of this, well, how do I know if somebody's a fool? I said, well, at your age, it's hard to tell. I mean, you know, there's certain things that you, if you grow and you learn, that means you're not a fool, that you're just overcoming the immaturity that naturally comes to all of us. But if there's somebody who really, really will not learn, their heart is hardened, then what's going to happen? They're going to take everybody they can with them away from God in their relationships if you don't identify them. How do you know? Well, you draw close to God. You do what is right. You build friendships around you where people are willing to listen. It's not all about themselves, where they don't exalt folly. Those are some of the things I will tell you. There are many other things in terms of trying to help people caught in various problems? Does he listen? Does he learn? Does he change? Proverbs 27:22 says, though you grind a fool and a mortal with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. We read that a minute ago, but this is one of the verses I remember. It's almost kind of funny. You got a mortal and pedestal, you know, you're trying to crush grain or something. Can you imagine the person in there? And they're being crushed and they don't learn from it, you know. To me, that's funny as you look at that, but it's very sad when you run across people in life that have gone through that. Now, here's a verse you need to remember. Okay, let's suppose over time, being merciful, not being judgmental, being careful, but using the wisdom of God, you conclude that somebody is a fool. Now, as I said earlier, that is a strong conclusion you should be careful in coming to. But let's suppose you come to that conclusion. What do you do with a fool? What do you do? Proverbs 26:4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. You may look at that verse and go, wait just a minute, what's it say? What's it say? It seems to be contradictory. Let me put it this way. There are times, I believe, that Jesus was confronted with men that were not of sincere hearts. Do you know what he did in a lot of cases? He didn't answer them a word. Or if he did answer them and they had this kind of thing set up where they were going to trap them, the answer he gave them oftentimes was a non-answer, or he answered their thing they asked him with a question. The illustration that I would give to you, I remember years ago, in my enthusiasm in evangelism, I used to think that I could talk everyone into becoming a Christian. And that's okay to think that. I mean, there's an enthusiasm about that. You want to talk with everyone. But, you know, I had to come to learn something, and I have learned it somewhat since then, that not everyone is willing to change. Some people are fools, or some people are just hard-headed. But I remember talking with a man, and I tried to help him see what he needed to see to serve God. And he wasn't going to see it. He ended up attacking other people, talking about this and the other. We'd go to the verse, he'd make ridiculous statements. We'd go to another verse, he'd make ridiculous statements, talk about this or that, attack me, attack the brother that was with me. Or I'd go to another verse, and finally the older man pulled me aside and said, Larry, my time's not real valuable, but it's more valuable than this. And he says, I'm going home. And he went home. And I stayed another 30 minutes till I finally figured out I should have went home or two. You know, there comes a point when you realize that somebody is a fool. As Jesus said in Matthew 7, you don't throw the pearls before the swine. Now again, that's a strong statement. I'm talking about in the case of a fool. But really what you do with a fool, you back off. And sometimes that may be somebody you love very much. That's really hard. Let me tell you what will happen with a fool. Just like I suggested earlier, I'm going down the Interstate 65 and I want to close my eyes and close my ears and lower my head. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's a certainty. It's going to happen sooner or later. I'm going to crash. Proverbs 10:8, it says, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Proverbs 10:10, he who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. Now again, let me remind you, a fool can be fun to be with. They can be the life of the party. A fool can talk about the things you want to hear about and give you attention and make you feel good. But you latch yourself to that person, you're going off the ledge. You're going to go with them. No ifs, ands, or buts. Be wise. You know what the Bible says the best job for a fool is? Now you think about that. Here's a person that they'll steal from you, they'll lie to you. They don't want to learn about the future, they want the here and now. What's the best job they can have? Outside of a politician, excuse me, I'll just throw that in. But in Proverbs 11:29, it says, he who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be the servant to the wise of heart. Basically, the Bible says the best job for a fool is to be a slave. But I want to tell you something. I don't know if you'd want that slave. I remember years ago working for a company where they were teaching people to be dishonest. They even showed me how they would take a diaphragm from a pump and they would polish it up and put it back in and charge it for new. I ended up leaving that company. Because one thing I know, that if I was an employer, I wouldn't want to have a fool in my business. They might lie for you, but they'll lie to you. They may steal for you, but they'll steal from you. Fool have no honor. I remember again talking to my daughter Emily. I said, you know, if you've got somebody that comes to you and they say they have no friends, they've lived in the area a long time and they have no friends, nobody will be around them, their parents to them are just are ridiculous, and everybody's been bad and nobody's been good, I will tell you, that's a big old warning flag. Because likely the person who has no relationships is because they've burned them to the ground. In Proverbs 26 and verse 1, it says, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. And a fool will experience a terrible life. I haven't read the verses in the book of Proverbs, but you know, it talks about the heartache of a mother or father who's raised a fool. There's nothing more frustrating in life. Remember, we studied a couple of weeks ago on emotions about how you cannot change another person against their will. You know, you want to do that. There's nothing more painful than to have somebody you love and you watch them just destroy themselves over and over again and you can't do nothing. Understand that. Until somehow they can be humbled and then they open their heart. You know, I've known some people who lived the life of a fool and turned around. But as long as they're a fool and they don't somehow come to that point to ask for help, here's what the Bible says about it. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Conclusion. What we need to understand is that we need to stay away from those who prove to be fools. Proverbs 23:9 says, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. We read this earlier. I'll read it again to you. Proverbs 13:19, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, let me end the lesson with some encouraging thoughts. We don't have to go there. With God's help, we will not go there. Because, as we talked about, the very process of conversion is a process that involves the mind and the heart. You can't become a Christian until you're willing to reason, to see your sin. But not only see your sin, but understand that your only hope is God. Jesus is the Son of God. He died for you. But it's not only that. As you become part of Him by being forgiven, as you're buried with Him in baptism, the process of serving God is working on the mind and the heart. Change, change, change. Teaching, teaching, teaching. Young people, if you don't remember anything else from this lesson, the key to your life, to your success, is going to be who you put around you. Let it be wise people, spiritual people, good people. You be the kind of person that is willing to be corrected, and when wrong, willing to do what is necessary to correct that wrong. That's what my friend told me. By the way, the friend that I told you got involved in alcohol, he told me later, he's a faithful Christian today. He told me, he says, Larry, the most valuable piece of advice you could ever have given me was that. And I will tell you, he sought after spiritual people. Sought after them, maybe to the point he aggravated them some. But you know, he ended up building a core of people around him that were solid. And he's doing great today. And by the way, he was an older man with children. So when we talk about the young, I also talk with the old. Who are you building around you? Let it be Christians. Let it be people that will help you go to heaven. From your friendship, to your marriage, to your associations. Let us understand, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, He will help us build our house on the rock. And in that, even though disappointments come in this life, We learn from them. Our God forgives. He helps us in this life. And ultimately, we can go to heaven. We want to extend the invitation of God this morning. If any of you are subject to the invitation, we urge you to come now as we stand and as we sing.